Yes,
sir. Director Wisner?
Here.
Director Canham?
Here.
Director Rolfe?
Here.
Chairman, we have a quorum.
Okay. Just by way of opening remarks, I know that we have some folks here from ExxonMobil, I think from Combined Oil possibly, as well. And what I want to make sure is that you understand the nature of this meeting. I don't want you to have any confusion about what we're about here today. The Oasis Working Group primarily concerns itself with looking at the current status of our oases and what the future may bring in an effort to try to determine, you know, what direction we want to take relative to the oases going forward. So we're dealing basically with kind of a strategic outlook and some longer-term planning, et cetera. The day-to-day operational issues or the operational issues themselves, we still, those are in the bailiwick of our operational staff here. So we won't be going into the topic that you perhaps are most interested in any detail at all. In fact, I can summarize probably right now by saying that staff is in the process of review, and they will bring recommendations to senior staff or the executive group here as a whole shortly, and obviously in time to be able to respond by March 5th. So that's probably the long and short of it relative to that particular topic. That being said, however, you're more than welcome to stay, and in fact, I would like to say that if anyone from the public would like to make any comments for the record here today, that we would allow that as well, and we allow that at this time if my fellow committee members are okay with that.
All in favor of that?
Well, would anyone like to address the group?
If you don't mind, we would like to say.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
We have been advised.
You're welcome to come up front. Come in the chairs if you'd like. You want to come. Okay.
All right. Very good. So moving on then. November. At that meeting, there were many questions posed to staff. Some of those were answered readily at the time. Others required some research. In order to get a full answer. And so at this point, I would ask staff to more or less summarize their responses to some of those questions that they weren't able to address fully at that time.
Okay. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Ed Flores, Oasis Project Manager for Engineering. What I've handed out is a compilation of the questions that were asked and the responses, in addition to a set of graphs. The responses were formally submitted to the directors on December 30th, 2009. What I'd like to do is go through maybe two or three of these, and if you have any questions, feel free to stop me at any time. If you have any additional questions, you can ask myself and Board Legal. One of the questions that were asked, page one, was a guaranteed rent from Wilton Partners. If in fact the tolling had received and continues to receive guaranteed rent. While the TOEI had, in fact, cured process to date, the TOEI isn't received and is current to the guaranteed rent. So they are current, as is ExxonMobil, all guaranteed rents. Are there any questions regarding that? Okay. If we can move over to, forgive me, if we can move over to page three. Question 4.15. The question was asked, the lease amount of ExxonMobil, and if ExxonMobil has in fact paid their guaranteed rent minimal, we'd like to report that ExxonMobil has exceeded their guaranteed rent. While I don't have the exact figures, they're still being compiled for 2009. I can provide that information within the next week or two to the board of directors, but they have exceeded the minimal guaranteed rent of $900,250.
If I could just quickly interject, the three-letter acronyms that begin each of these questions are references to In the case of DTC, Director Tom Canham, DJR, Director Jim Rolfe, and DTW, Tom Weissman. So just if you're trying to figure out what that's all about, that's what it's all about.
Okay. Absolutely. Question 4.21, the question was asked regarding traffic counts at the OACs. And if we'd be kind enough to turn to the second graph on the attachments. This attachment has a header of mainline 82 passenger vehicle and trucks approaching 12 OACs for calendar year 2008. These are estimated figures provided by Wilbur Smith, and correct me if I'm wrong, Greg. And these are average daily traffic. As you can see, well, I do apologize for the way the graph is printed in here. It's not in color. I'll give you an example. DeKalb, we have roughly 17,000 vehicles passing through, with a capture rate of approximately 5,000 vehicles going into the OASIS site. How that's dispersed, being who goes to Ethno Mobile and who goes to the pavilion, it's very hard for us to computate that. But this is what this graph represents for all seven OASIS. Are there any questions regarding that?
One third of the cars at that OASIS.
This is what our numbers represent, correct?
If you would you clarify? I mean, I'm thinking that television ad with the pink dress was not off the chandelier, but passenger vehicles and trucks, when we look at the Calb at 17 and 5, is that just total vehicles, or what part of that is?
That is total vehicles.
All right.
If we did place, it'd be a very difficult task to put owners at the point where cars and trucks separate. Well, it could be done. It would be a very difficult task to do. And if they were suggested to do so, the engineering department would in fact do that.
Yeah, you know, I was just trying to understand, because the key on the right side is passenger vehicles and trucks. I was just trying to understand
which shade is which.
Yeah. Forgive me. The darker shade being 17,000, when I refer to that 17,000, that is passing by in the OASIS. The 5,000 that tells represents the vehicles and or trucks going into an OASIS. And the same for the other seven OASIS. Let me go to the next one. Lincoln OASIS shows that 97,650 vehicles on average, being cars and trucks, passed under the OASIS. Of that, 28,000 are captured by an OASIS.
I think that it might be that the 17,180 passenger vehicles pass underneath the DeKalb Oasis and 5,000 trucks pass under. But I don't think it's that they actually go into the Oasis.
Right.
I don't think it's
that would be.
That's the correct. So it's going to be, for Lincoln, it's going to be 97,650 passenger vehicles go underneath the Lincoln Oasis and approximately 28,000 trucks go underneath the Lincoln Oasis.
This is like foot traffic.
But it's not really that the 28,000 vehicles go enter into Lincoln Oasis on a daily basis.
We have, I can go ahead and look at those numbers and clarify it again. These are the numbers I get provided by Wilbur Smith.
That's fine. I just,
okay.
Yeah. I guess I'm looking at it and thinking it's, when I see the key, and how you described it was a little different than I was expecting to face it based on looking.
Okay. We'll clarify that for you and submit that to the group. Are there any other questions that the board or anyone else here would have of the OASIS working group regarding these graphs? Give us one second.
Is there anywhere a count of how many cars actually go up those ramps?
That is in the, we're going to clarify those numbers. The Wilbur Smith numbers do show capture rate. So when we use the word capture rate, those are vehicles going up the ramps into the OASIS proper, into the parking area. And we'll just verify these numbers again and resubmit those to you.
Okay, and we we got gross sales for Oasis Pavilions and also for the fueling stations.
Right. These numbers, which one would you like to discuss first, the Oasis Pavilions?
Sure.
These numbers are, again, it's just a gross sales cumulative per site, 2004 through 2008, and the first graph representing the O'Hare being the first site shows gross sales through calendar year 2008, beginning with 2004, gross sales being $28 million. $28.5 million. And at the bottom of the graph, it shows gross sales for all Oasis cumulative at roughly $165 million through 2008.
Okay, I'm looking at yearly Oasis Pavilion sales 2004, 5, 6, 7, and 8 with the bar graph.
Correct.
Individual bars for each Oasis. And what I'm seeing here is a gradual incline in sales up to 2007, and thereafter a decline. Do we think, when we look at that, do we think that decline may have a lot to do with the congestion relief project or projects? That reduced overall traffic on the tollways, or do we think that is more of an indicator of just a reduced usage of the pavilions? The same one.
It's
the minus one.
Right. Yeah. I know we can do that. What we would have to do there is we would look at the average daily traffic going under an Oasis, and it seems to be relatively consistent, and you see a drop in overall sales at the Oasis.
It could also be due to construction, too, because 2008 was when we were in the midst of the CRP, and
right.
Just taking a look at it, you can see that the Lake Forest Oasis seems to have dropped, so that was in the middle of the tri-state widening reconstruction.
Right. That's what I was trying to get at, is that drop indicative probably more of the construction impact than anything else?
But there is an economic factor that plays into this also, mm-hmm. beginning in the onset of late 2008.
Well, what I would say is that we have now kind of a nice situation for eliminating that factor, in other words, with most of the construction done. I think this year will give us a very clear picture, I think, of where we're at. In other words, you know, it'll be isolated to issues other than construction. So we can see if we see the Oasis Pavilion sales going back up, that tells us something.
So okay.
If it's still flat, that also tells us something.
And so that we don't have to wait until the end of 2009, when do we get January sales totals so we can maybe extrapolate?
I do have those. They were not compiled into this graph. This graph represents information provided December 30th. That information came to us mid-February. It's 45 days behind.
So you have January 2010. I don't want 2009. We had construction going on. Construction was all completed December of 2009. So we need January 2010 figures and see where we were at.
So I think what the director's saying is, as your 2010 stats are available, it would be good to see them early,
okay,
rather than accumulating 6 months.
Very good. We get that information on a monthly basis, again, 45 days in arrear, so we'll be more than happy to submit that on a monthly basis.
By March 15th, we can get that done?
Yes, okay.
We should also provide the traffic revenue, traffic and revenue stats we just have for the roadway overall,
yeah.
Because certainly our system has not been immune from the economy and fewer traffic. So certainly, That's another item that has to be figured into the formula. As you recall, last year we readjusted our revenue projections due to a decrease in traffic. So, not just because of construction.
Does that system, or does the way that we keep track of that allow by, like, how much came between 8 or 7 in the morning and 6 in the afternoon, or 6 in the evening versus the off hours, I guess you call it?
You know, we certainly can talk to our traffic.
See if it does that when they're counting the transponders. That might be.
Yeah, we look at this.
It does. It does. At the plazas, they have all the data by hour.
Okay.
So they know exactly when the volume is.
So maybe we can look at that in the January travel and the January sales. That'd be terrific.
And if we look at the Oasis service station, the line graphs that show both gallons delivered and sales, and sales are obviously variable by the fact that prices change radically over a short period of time, I think. But the gallons delivered, I think, is a good indication. And again, I think we see a mild rise over time to peaking in 2007 and then dropping in 2008, which again may involve the same factors.
And I think we're safe to assume that fuel storage was level for 2009 versus 8 today. Director Cannon, where you're going is trying to look into 2010, and if January was a good month and you just use that as an average plus minus 5%, that you might have a sense of what the year's going to be.
We have a widened highway now. We have everything fixed up. The other thing, directors, I'm thinking about is we're talking about the inside of the Oasis is one of the things we're focused on, because I think, is there a way to break down how many of these cars going up the ramp or these total sales are spent on gas versus the inside of the Oasis? Because again, we don't want to be misdirected and saying, oh, we're having all these people stop here, but the reality of it is they're stopping for gas because they need gas. So we know Exxon, we know how much sales they have. I think we need to break that out, because I don't think by changing, I think we need to know how much business is really going inside those Oasis.
Absolutely.
You have a traffic count of people walking there. I don't know how you can do it, but to really make the right decision, I think it needs to be broken down. And I don't know how to do that, but if you can, there is a way. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions on the data? If not, then we move on to number 5 on the agenda. I think we have a history of the Oasis development program.
Yes, I can continue with the history lesson from last meeting in November. If you recall from the November 24th meeting, I gave a brief history of the Tully Oasis from approximately the late 1950s to around the early 1990s. So this presentation is going to take us from where I left off there, what the Tollway did during the 90s as far as putting together an Oasis redevelopment program, ultimately to the signing of the leases with Wilton and with ExxonMobil. Worked before, Nancy. Okay. Okay, as I just said, in the early 1990s, the existing operating agreements with Marriott, McDonald's, Wendy's, and ExxonMobil were expiring. And with that, the Tollway came up with an Oasis redevelopment program that was initiated by the Tollway's Finance and Administration Department. Finance contracted with Warkaba and Associates to be the project director. Warkaba and Associates had familiarity with the Tollway in that they had assisted finance in renegotiating the leases back in 1984 with Marriott's, McDonald's, Wendy's, etc. Engineering then contracted with Knight EA Incorporated based upon their familiarity with work that they had done with the Oasis previously with the tollway. Along with that, White and Company had an environmental contract that was ongoing around the same time with the legal department. So in 1993, the Oasis redevelopment program begins. And I'm going to kind of go through year by year on this. So you kind of have to get a sense of the time frame of what was happening back in 1993 with relation to the tollway and the Oasis. So the first thing that the program did, first task, was to perform a facility assessment. This assessed the conditions of the existing buildings. They looked at the roofs, HVAC systems, the structures, etc. As part of the assessment, a strategic planning study was also initiated. This study was based on the results of the facility assessment, but the study would also incorporate motorist surveys conducted at the Oasis, look at appropriate locations for the Oasis, and identify potential new locations with, at that time in 1993, we were looking at some new routes. So we knew that the existing leases would be expiring in 2 years, and this study, the strategic planning study, was to determine what the tollway would do, to determine the nature and extent of what the improvements required to the facilities to renew the leases. The findings identified that significant modernizations were required. The buildings were 40 years old, and they needed a lot of work. The study was presented to the board in early 1994, and the board agreed to move forward with the next steps for redevelopment. I'd like to note that the original recommendation was to reconstruct 5 Oasis and renovate the DeKalb, which had been constructed in the early 1970s, and the Des Plaines Oasis. The Des Plaines Oasis, although being one of the original ones, that was just to be renovated due to, at that time, the potential for a bypass in that vicinity. So in 1994, an Oasis location study was initiated. The study was performed by both Knight and by our general consultant, AECOM. The report confirmed that the existing Oasis at their location should remain. And at that time, it also identified 4 new potential locations for Oasis. One was near Beverly Road Interchange on the I-90, one near Eola on I-88, and then one near Midlothian on the north-south, and then one either near the Boughton or 143rd Street on the north-south also. They also identified a potential truck oasis on the Tri-State Tollway near Ridgeland Avenue. This was really just identified to help ease some of the truck parking issues that were occurring at the time at the Oasis. The report concluded at the end of 1994, and that report also was presented to the board. In 1995, the tollway began preparations of a prototype concept design and specifications for the over-road structures. 7 different concepts were prepared. The prototypes were then vetted through a stakeholder review process, which included the tollway board, local municipalities, and even included an open public comment period here at the tollway. We actually had some renderings and stuff here at the atrium area of the tollway building here. The prototype concepts also identified that this would be a capital improvement dollar estimate of approximately $100 million. That $100 million included both the pavilion and the field facilities. Also in 1995, letters were sent to potential entities to see if there was even an interest in leasing opportunities at a revamped Oasis. Okay, in January 1996, the renderings were approved at the tollway board, and a focus group study was initiated to obtain additional public interest and input. In July 1996, a public partnership was broached at one of these focus groups, and it did receive some pretty good, it was well received by the public at that focus group. By August of that year, the focus group findings were presented to the board. And among the findings in the report was that the public thought that the improvements were good as long as the public did not have to pay for them. They requested mini-marts and restrooms next to the fuel stations. They wanted a variety of restaurant choices inside the pavilion. And they requested large, clean bathrooms. And that's some of the things that we incorporated into the concepts. By 1997, there were concerns about the $100 million estimate for the improvements. And at that time, a public-private partnership was considered, and including any and all alternatives brought to by the private sector. The tollway at that time was trying to find other means than the tollway itself funding this $100 million price tag. There was some uncertainty with the public-private partnership because they knew that it would require legislative changes to allow for an extended lease term. State contracts are restricted to a maximum of 10 years. The private sector at that time was requesting a 40 to 50 year lease term in order to get a return on their investment. Ultimately, though, legislation was adopted to allow for a 25 year lease at the Oasis. And this legislative work here did take some time. You know, it did not happen overnight. It did take approximately 2 to 3 years to get this worked out. Near the end of 1997, the tollway conducted community forums to discuss the improvements with the adjacent communities next to the Oasis. So we were going out there making sure that the adjacent communities knew what we were going to be doing, see what their concerns were with regard to having an Oasis in their backyard, etc. Okay, 1998. This is now during the time frame when we were investigating the legislative action to try to get a 25-year lease. That provided us additional time to kind of hammer down the potential new Oasis locations. As I mentioned, it sort of tweaked from the original report. One was still a potential at near the Beverly Road interchange on the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway. Another potential was at 22nd Street on the Tri-State Tollway. There was also investigated a one-sided Oasis at Belvedere with co-development opportunities. They were actually looking at the potential of developing like a hotel type thing next to the Oasis. And then there was also still looking at a potential truck plaza at Ridgeland Avenue on I-294. Also in 1998, engineering and this entire redevelopment program began its coordination efforts with the LUS program. The LUS program had been initiated by the legal department in July of that year.
What does that acronym say?
LUS, Leaking Underground Storage Tank. Thank you. The TOA then solicited input from the private sector. The effort was led by finance and supported by the engineering. And what that input did was it validated that there was interest outside to develop these Oasis under a triple net lease type format. Also in 98, the TOA decided to enter into a three-step process in order to select a developer. They were going to pre-qualify potential development teams, request proposals from the pre-qualified teams, and then negotiate with the highest qualified bidder. In doing this, there was a pre-submission meeting in October of 1998. It was attended, I remember it was attended by one of the chairmen at the time, and by representatives from the finance and engineering department. This resulted in requests for qualifications being issued in November of 1998. In early 1999, the tollway did receive qualifications from 12 teams. Just some of the people who submitted these qualifications were like Krispy Kreme, Lehman Brothers, Host Marriott, etc. The qualifications were evaluated and additional information was requested if we felt that we needed it. Seven or eight firms were ultimately pre-qualified. And for the pre-qualification teams, engineering did the technical reviews as far as the engineering, architectural, to see if the teams had the ability to work within the tollway environment, mainly high traffic construction. And then finance department reviewed all the financial information. The pre-qualified teams were notified in March of 1999. Around that time also, the tollway then finalized its investigations into the new Oasis locations. They determined to just stay with the original locations as identified. The other potential locations started to drop out due to requiring either right-of-way, which would have increased the cost to develop those facilities, and other issues such as access or even some environmental issues with the property. The tollway then prepared lease agreements and a request for proposal because one of the questions that we got from the attendees from the attendees at that pre-qualification meeting was they wanted to know what they were going to be bidding on. So this then totally had to take a step back and determine just what it was that we wanted them to do, what we